Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 34. And for those of you that you've never heard me, I'll tell you, I'm going to tell it like it is. I tell you, I'm going to preach God's Word. It is not going to be sugar-coated. It's going to be down and then dirty because, hey, that's how our life is. It's truth. It's reality. Life isn't pretty. You wake up and then life gets really real all of a sudden. And so I'm happy to be here. And you know, if there's something that I could say, what has this week been about? I've been around so many people this week that God said, Kelly, this is how they feel. They've woke up today and they never thought that their life would be what it was. Sometimes we wake up and we think, how did my life get like this? How did it get complicated? How did it get to where I'm at right now? And sometimes that's how we feel. Whether it's a good feeling, you may be having the best time of your life. You may be thinking, man, what did I do to deserve this? This is great. Here I am and the blessings are coming in. The breakthroughs are coming in. Or you may be the person sitting in your seat right now thinking, God, if you don't show up, God, I don't know what I'll do because God, I need you to show up. God, I need the breakthrough. And so wherever you're at today in your life, God is here for you. He's here to minister to you. And so in verses 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. I've caught myself many times this week worried. I'm very real. And I'm very honest. To the point my mother most of the time wants to crawl under that seat over there she's sitting in. Because I have lost the ability to fake a lot of things anymore because it doesn't help people and it doesn't help you. When you fake things in your life, one of these days you fake it one too many times, you're going to wake up and you're going to be confused because you're not going to know what's real in your life and what's not real in your life. And it right here it says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Now that sounds like pure insanity to me. What do you mean not worrying? Worrying is like my favorite hobby. I mean, it's no longer a sin to me. It's just something I like to do because I can entertain some crazy things. I can get myself to believing some whacked out things that aren't nowhere near the truth of anything. And I know I'm not the only one that does that. But God says, hey, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the things. Last night, Jeremy's gone too. Both the men in my life are gone. Dad went up to where he's gone up to with his mother. My husband went for a little vacation. Sometimes I'm thinking, I wish they'd go somewhere. I don't want them going at the same time because it's like double missing them. I just sat in my bed and just cried. I thought I didn't realize I love both of them so much, but they need to come back. They need to get here quickly. But you know what? I caught myself worrying. You know, people, you'll say, God, how can I ever do that? God, how will I ever be that? God, how are you going to take me to the next step? And a lot of times we're afraid and we're worried about the change that we feel that's coming. Anybody feel a change coming your way? I feel change. And if I'm not real careful, I'll let just the idea of change overwhelm me. But you know what? God says, don't worry about that part of your life. I got it. So here it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. I'm happy about that one. I'm kidding. That doesn't mean you can go binge out at the buffet. You guys are a very hard crowd this morning. I'm going to have to get right up on somebody. Who's it going to be? And it says here, don't worry about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? And you know, a lot of times we have to take that look. And we have to look again because we discredit ourselves. We take ourselves out of the blessing pool. We think that we've gone too far. We think we've made one too many mistakes. We don't feel valuable. A lot of times what you're worried about is the fact that you feel inadequate. A lot of times you're concerned, and it's because you don't feel like you're good enough to do the thing that's coming up that's the change. A lot of times you feel like, I could never do that. It's just not in me. And see, God told me last night, Kelly, you're going to grow into the calling. No, it's not something that you're just going to bounce right up into. You're going to grow into it. And when you've grown, you're going to keep growing. You're going to grow and you're going to grow and you're going to grow. Don't be concerned about it. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Don't feel inadequate. Don't feel small. The devil likes to make us look like small people. He likes to make the situation look big and us look small. That's what he does. And we believe him a lot of the times. And so it says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Now, how many times have you said, now, God, how will this happen? There's something wrong with us. When we wake up in the morning, we want to know what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And then when we know those two things, we sit and worry about them. You know? When God says, here's what's going to happen, here's how it's going to happen, and then you sit there like you're the one that's going to make it happen, and you worry, and you stress, and you fret. There are things that God is going to bring about for His kids, specifically in this house, and you're sitting there and you're worried about it, and God's saying, don't worry about it. I've got it. Don't worry about the people that are involved. I'll line them all up. I'll put them right where they need to go. We spend so much time worrying and fretting over what we're supposed to be doing. God's helping us. He is the helper. And it says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now let me let you in on a little key. You see, people, they want all these things. They want all these blessings. They want the healing of God. They want all this stuff from God. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Seek first the kingdom of God. Very few people are willing to seek His kingdom first. That is why these seats are empty. Because the people that are supposed to be here in this church, Stephanie, they're not seeking the kingdom first. They're not putting God first. See, God has a person for each seat in here. They're either in a backslidden state, they're either offended at the pastor, or they're just simply not putting Him first. They may be somebody that you need to witness to and snatch Him out of the pit of hell. But see, there's very few people that just reckon in their heart, I'm going to put God first above what I want to do. I'm going to seek His kingdom first. Before I even build up my own house, I'm going to put Him first. See, it's not an easy thing to put God first, because the first thing that you're going to feel is uncomfortable. It's not comfortable to turn the other cheek. It's not comfortable to love people when they're stabbing you in the back. God is not about our comfort all the time, but he did send the Comforter to comfort us in those times of trials and tribulation. He sent the Comforter. And so, you know what? We lots of times got to do what my dad says. Now, Kelly, you put on your big girl britches and you get over it and you do what you're called to do. Not because it's comfortable all the time, not because it's what you want to do all the time, but because every day that you decide not to, who's suffering because of that? Y'all are so agreeable. I don't know what to even think of it. Glory. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to look in verse 35. And it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You know, there's a lot of things that come and go. And I did not realize, Mama Brenda, literally how many things come and go till about the last 2 years. And I've spent the last 2 years reeling from the things that have come and gone. See, life does this thing where it just gets so serious and so severe sometimes, just all of a sudden. And you know what? God says, hey, heaven and earth are passing away, but you know what? My word will never pass away. My word will never return void. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. It's the bottom line. And so many times, Sister Cindy, what do? We get up in the middle of the storm and we forget, because we're right there in the middle of it, right there in the thick of it, we forget what God said he was going to do. See, I was talking to a person the other day and we were counseling them. The first hour that they called, oh, I know God wants me to do this. I'm in the middle of the storm, but God wants me to do that. And they were all gung-ho. An hour later, I'm trying to think of the political word so I don't embarrass Mother. They were going back on that. You know what I'm saying? I said, now hold on. Just an hour ago, we were talking about what you thought God wanted you to do with this situation. Now, just because more truth has come out doesn't mean God's word doesn't still stand true to you. See, a lot of times, God will say, now I want you to do this. And we're like, okay, we'll go there. And you'll get right up in the middle of that thing, and it's just like it explodes. You may be dealing with somebody, you're trying to get them to be honest, you're trying to get them to be real, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to go with what they've said. And then there just keeps on coming on more stuff. Truth is still there. What God told us to do is still there. See, when things get difficult, when we get weary, when we get stressed, that doesn't mean that God has changed his mind. It just means readjust yourself. Renew your mind. Things get serious. Stuff comes out. What did God tell you he would do? What did God tell you? Where did he tell you he'd be? Well, he told you he'd be with you. Amen. I'm having all sorts of trouble with these hair and these earrings. Probably look like an alien. I feel like my earlobe is twisted up in half. I don't need that earlobe anyways. I've got another one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 12. In verse 9 and 10. And it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, let me tell you something. God will put people in your midst, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Lord, does he ever. And about 12 years ago, Jeremy and I, we bought our first home. And we bought it a few months before we actually got married. And Jeremy lived in it until we got married. But we bought our first home. Now, this is going to sound really crazy to some folks, but this is Jeremy and I that we're talking about. So Jeremy's the sane one, but he lets me get away with just about anything. So, you know, anyhow, I said, Jeremy, I've decided that I don't want to live in that apartment that you're living in when we get married. I don't even think that second bedroom is big enough for all my clothes and shoes. So we're going to have to do something different. And he said, well, okay, he's trying to make me happy. I said, I'm just going to begin to look at houses for us. This is about 5 months before we got married. And he said, okay, Kelly, that poor man, he never knows if I'm just blowing smoke or really going to do something. I was really going to do it. So we looked at a couple houses, and then we looked at this one. And before, as God is my witness, before we saw this house, I said, Jeremy, now God just told me this is going to be our house. I hope we're fixing to like it, but this is it. So you just let me know. Brother Mike, Jeremy is a saint. Because I said, here's what we're going to do, Jer. I have stopped by the title company to get our own offer and acceptance form. And I went by, we looked at it, and Jeremy said, as long as it has a garbage disposal, we'll get it. God forbid we put one in. It's got to have one ahead of time. And I said, well, for me, as long as it doesn't have carpet in the living room, we'll get it. We walked in. The owners of the house said, now, it's got this nice new laminate flooring, and we've got a garbage disposal in the sink that we just put in. Now, let me tell you something. We bought that house. Now, that seems crazy. Like I said, Jeremy's an absolute saint because he's let me do several things like that that just seem insane. But I'm going to tell you something. It really wasn't the house that God wanted me to have so much as it was the neighbor that I would have. For about 8 years, I was blessed to have Nina Reed as my neighbor. And there would be times where I would be struggling in my faith. It's not easy being married the first little bit. It's not easy having your first child. It's not easy going through all the things that people go through. That house, it wasn't about the flooring. Really was not about the garbage disposal. That was about the people that God said, Kelly, buy this house because I'm going to surround you for some comfort. I'm going to surround you with somebody that's going to knock on your door and tell you you're acting like a nut. I'm going to send somebody that when you have your baby and you're having that postpartum depression that the devil seems like he wants to put on you, I'm going to send her and she's going to know right what to say. Jeremy got over there. See, we used to be real crazy. We used to do things like picking up leaves. There is no point in that. None. Because they just, I mean, you'll be right in the middle of picking them things up and they'll just come up down again. They just do stuff like that. But back before we had children and any common sense whatsoever, Jeremy was out there about the first week that we bought that house and he was picking up the leaves. It's hard to even imagine him doing such manual labor now. I was not helping him. And here comes our first visit to Miss Reed. She was trotting her little self over there. If you know her, she's got a lot of physical problems. But if she wants to get somewhere, she'll get there quicker than a 20-year-old. She trotted over there and she said, "I just want you to know I'm Nina Reed, and you're doing that all wrong." She said, "Now I brought you what you need to do it right." I never even figured out that was, because I knew I wasn't going to do it. Nor was I going to do it right, because it just wasn't happening. But there was a lot of times where Nina spoke into my life, and I'm telling you, when she spoke, I knew it was the voice of God. There was one time I was being a straight-up devil. Oh, I was being ugly. I had had a bad day at work. I had had a problem with the coworker, and I was just dang determined to be bad. She knocked on my door. I didn't answer the door. She flung the door open, Brother Larry. She said, "Kelly, God sent me over here to tell you to put my finger in your face and tell you that God's grace is sufficient. Whatever's gotten you this way, you better stop. Because God's got the grace for that situation and He's going to pour it on there. Stop. Stop being angry. My grace is sufficient." And she just walked out. And that was what 8 years of that was about. See, God knows what to do with you. God knows who He is. God knows who He is. So many times we don't know who we are, do we, sis? We don't. We wake up one day, we one way. We wake up one day, we another way. Why? Because the devil knows how to attack. The devil knows how to get you right up in your spirit where you're just going to have a bad day. And see, then he'll do it again. He'll do it over and over and over. See, God is God, and God knows who He is. God knows that that baby just spit up. Now, let me tell you something. We outgrew that house, Melissa. That's what happens when you have your second kid. You outgrow things super quick. And I said, "Jeremy, I believe that God wants us to move." He said, "Well, Kelly, I'm pretty happy." I said, "Well, just pray on it, because I believe it's time to move." Well, he finally turned around, come around, and we got the house that we have today. Now, we had two houses at one time, and if you ever want to be really tormented in your life, do that. You'll know what torment is when you're responsible for two of everything. Two bills of every kind, two lawns, two everything. And one day I was outside and I was tormented by that. And that house wasn't selling. And I was out there and I was trying to be away from Jeremy, because the man had done give me everything I wanted, and now I'm going to cry about what I got that I wanted. And I just didn't want to do that around him, because I didn't want him to feel bad like he had done something. So I get outside and I'm acting like I'm sweeping, which is not something I do. I don't care what it looks like outside. I don't ever go out there. Really, you know. And here I am messing around. God knows what He's doing in your life. Because up rolls my new neighbor, who just so happens to be Glenda Bates. Glenda Bates is the Mama Brenda at the church down the road. She pulled up in my driveway. She goes, "Come here." She didn't even want to get out. Look, I got no problem with that. I'm going to be that one of these days. She said, "Kelly, when I saw you out here, God told me to pull up. And He told me," see, I had not talked to her about anything. I didn't even know she lived by me. God don't want you being all worked up and all upset and all tormented about that other house. God's saying, live in this house, dwell in this house, be happy in this house, and appreciate your blessing. If God was going to call you to be here and that other thing go bad, God's not like that. See, sometimes what God's telling you to do, it's going to have a moment. It's going to have a period of time where it's going to require you to grow. It's going to require you to lean on God. It's going to require you to stop looking at how it looks. That's the worst thing to do when you get up in something. You really want to mess yourself up. You want to mess your heart up. Start looking at reality. Start looking at things how they actually look. Because you'll do that, and then you can't look in faith because you've done got yourself thinking that you know what it's going to be. There are things that if we saw really how they were going to be, we'd just sit back and have a good life. You can do that, by the way. See, God doesn't want you to be overwhelmed with the change that's coming. He doesn't want you to be overwhelmed with the blessing that's coming. And let me tell you something. Some of the worst things that you've been through and you're thinking, why did you allow me to go through that? Those things are bringing about some of your biggest blessings. And you had to go through a little hard thing to get to the good thing. And you need to stop talking to all your friends and getting them all to agree with you and say, oh, poor little Sally Sue. You don't deserve that. Sometimes it's not about what you deserve. Sometimes it's about what does God want? What will I do? What will I go through to get to the point where I'm living where He says live? Where I'm going to where He says go? Where I'm totally in His will? See, it's not all about your comfort. Sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable. But it's going to be worth it. But you got to know when it's God or just a bad decision that you made. Yeah, some of us make some bad decisions. Sometimes the things that we go through are a result of a bad decision. But sometimes the thing that we are going through, there's no other way but to go through it. You didn't do nothing wrong. You did everything right. But you know what? Nonetheless, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Sometimes there's just things that you got to walk through. And God said, I'll be with you every step of the way. Don't get bitter at me. Don't get mad at me. Don't start doubting me. Man, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Because the thing that I said, see, my word doesn't return void. It's coming about. There's nobody that can take it from you. The doors that God opens, He opens them. When He shuts them, they're shut. There isn't anybody that could open them up. And Glenda said, now you stop, and you stop it right now. You stop waking up in the middle of the night and being tormented. She just began to read me my mail. I walked up in that house with a new attitude. My face was white because I could not even believe that woman rolling up in my driveway. I said, Glenda Bates, Jeremy, is our neighbor, and she just set me straight. He said, oh my God, thank God. He has her number. He can call her anytime I get out of line. But see, God knows. God knows sometimes we get into some places and we're saying, now why am I here, God? Stop asking. Look around you. It could be about the people that you're going to minister to. Or it could just simply be the people that's going to minister to you. The people that's going to roll up in your driveway. The people that's going to call you out of nowhere. See, stop thinking with your five senses. What you can only see, taste, hear, smell. And it says, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, the power of God wants to rest on you. The power of God wants to rest on your situation. The power of God wants to rest on your finances. The power of God wants to rest on the healing that you need to take place. See, the power of God wants to rest on the marital problem. The power of God wants to work on your relationship problem. The power of God wants to work on the children that they've been in a backslidden state. See, the power of God wants to rest on some things, and people won't have it any other way because they're thinking with only what they can see. God's trying to get you to say, hey, it's not about what I can see. It's about what He said. And His grace, it's sufficient. God will pour the grace out on the situation. It don't matter who's involved. It don't matter who's doing the backbiting. It don't matter who's doing the smack talk. Yeah, I said smack talk, and I said it in church, and that's how I preach. Why? Because it's relatable. You want me up here reading a version of this Bible that ain't none of us can understand? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to read something we're going to get. We're going to get it loud, and we're going to get it proud, and we're going to have an understanding so we can go out of this building and change. So we can lay awake at night and just say, hey, God, I'm going to go to bed. God, I'm going to stop worrying about that. God, I'm going to give myself to You like I've never done before because You're the King of Kings. Because You said something to me, God, and I know You're going to make it come to pass. But He said, for My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, that I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I've spent too much time answering all my critics. You get on that good old glorious Facebook, somebody say something to you they would never say to you in real life. They don't give you the smiley face that you think they ought to have. Yeah, I know all about it. I have Facebook. In hardships, in persecutions, what does this sound like to you? This sounds like a marriage. See, before you can be married to a person, now I learned this when I got in that period of time where I was single with all the other morons, and before I married my husband, God said, Kelly, you got to be married to Me, because until you are, this ain't going to work out with nobody. That's how it is. In persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then He is strong. Glory. Stop worrying about somebody seeing you and you're not all up to what you want to be. Stop worrying about what somebody's going to say. Stop worrying about that person that they got something to say about you. Stop thinking of the defensive line that you're going to say when it's out in the open. See, we all do that, don't we, hon? We all get up there and we think, now when they say this, here's what I'm going to say. God knows. God said, man, I'll be your biggest defender. I will shut the mouths of your enemy. I will create a table for you in the presence of your enemies. But see, there's a thing that right up in between there. You want your table to be right in the presence of your enemies. You know what? There's a thing there. There's some action that you got to take before you get to the table. It's not about just plopping up at God's table and be like, where's my enemies, Lord? I want to show them. Man, Sam, wouldn't it be great if we could do that? It would be, but that's not how it is. You want to come to the table? Be the person that He's called you to be. Do what He's called you to do. Forgive that person. Let it go. Wake up and know what He's told you He would do. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live in by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and He gave Himself up for me. Now, I quote this almost every time that I preach, and I'm probably going to until the day I die or I stop preaching, which is probably going to be me dying first. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. That's it. There's not a life that you can live where you're going to be happy and it's not going to be in Him. If you're having a problem today and you're numb and you don't even know what's up, you don't know what's down, you're all around, you're numb, it's because you've been living something and it ain't been in Him. Now, I'm not trying to Bible thump you. I'm trying to get you to a point where you see what's going up and you see what's going down and you see that it's yourself and this is what you're doing because you've numbed out. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. See, it's not me, but it's the God inside of me. And what I am by the grace of God. We got to come to that point where we realize that the stuff that we're chasing after, I've learned something. When God wants to give you something, you don't got to chase it. Every single person better be grabbing onto that glory. When God wants to give you something, you ain't got to go chase it down and hold it down and hog tight. Threaten it. Pistol whip it. Amen. Y'all can relate to that one, can't you? Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. See, God is near. He knows what's going on. He knows what needs to happen, and He's near. It's not like He's gone off to Timbuktu, and He ain't never coming back. No, He's near. He's right there. And He's saying, now I'm here. Do not be anxious. Stop this anxiety thing where you're anxious about everything all the time. When you're anxious, you feel that coming up in you, you got to learn how to resist that. I was anxious about going to something, a wedding of my best friend's. I got very anxious because I thought my enemy was going to be there. And Kelly said, God said, Kelly, every time that anxiety comes up about seeing that person, you smash it down and you tell it to come in line with what I've said. And you know what I started saying, Stephanie? God, the day that you want me to be face to face with my enemy, you've already ordained it. God, the day that I stand face to face with her, you've already shut my mouth. You've already put me in order. You've already lined me out. You've already got me sanctified where I'm not going to fail that test. See, God knows what you need. And He's not only does He know, but He's near. Well, you know what? I got to sit up in that wedding. I didn't see anybody I didn't like. See, God knows. God is very intelligent. He knows to not let them go everywhere we're going to be. But by golly, when you run up into Him, He probably allowed it. Probably wants to help you grow. He's helping me to grow. I ain't run into Him yet. Praise the Lord. But I had to get that anxiety about that situation under wraps. Because see, you'll miss out on some of the things. I watched my best friend get married, and she lost her father about 4 years ago. And they got to the point, and the minister said, now when I asked her who was giving her away, she told me that God Himself was giving her away to this man. See, you'll miss out on some of the biggest blessings just because you let the devil mess your heart up over it. You'll be sitting at your best friend's wedding freaking out. I sat at that wedding and I said, God, You're in control. God, I'm going to behave. Please help me. God, I'm going to do the right thing. God, I ain't spent 15 months prepping to do the wrong thing here. God, I surrender everything that I am to your will right now. Do I have lots of things to say to her? Yes, I do. They get just a little bit less important every day. I'm beginning to say, Melissa, now why did I hate her? God's taken even the memory of that little rascal plumb out of me. I've stopped recalling a lot of it. You get these things and you recall some of this nonsense to yourself. You get yourself all worked up and you've done had a full-blown argument with these people that you don't like in your head before 8 o'clock in the morning. You ever argue with somebody in your head? Gets you riled up, doesn't it? Sure does. Gets me riled up. Thank you, Brother Charles. Brother Charles has been having my back for years. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. See, let your request be known, and then back up and say, you know what, God? The peace of God that you've got, the peace is going to come over this mind that doesn't understand why I'm going through this. The peace of God is going to guard my heart. It's going to guard my mouth. First Timothy chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 6 to 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Learn how to be content with what's going on in your life. Do you got to like it? No, but you got to learn how to be content. You got to learn how to say, God, I'm not leaving you. God, I know you're not leaving me. God, I'm not going to backslide. God, I'm standing right here till you move. God, I know that you're moving because you told me that you were. God, when I can't see what you're doing, when it looks like you're not doing anything, God, I'm still standing firm because I know that your word is not returning void, because I know you're a person of your word. I know you're not lying to me. It's just taking a little bit more time. There's somebody involved, God. You're working with their heart right now. So you got to tell these things to yourself, because yourself wants to get you worked up. Yourself wants to get you worried and stressed. God wants to deliver you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. And it says here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The things that He's helped you with, He's not taken His hand off of them. He's not taken His grace off of them. He's not taken His mercy off of them. He is the same God that was there for you yesterday. He is the same God that brought you through every trial. He is the same God that provided for you when you didn't think you were going to make it. He was the same God that healed your body. He was the same God that brought you through things that should have taken you down. See, God is here for you today. God's not a man that He should lie. And not only is He your God, but see, He's near to you. If you've gone away from God and you can't feel God and you've gotten yourself numb to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to try to wake you up in here, because see, you're serving a gracious God that loves you and that wants to be here for you and that wants to love you and wrap His arms around you and say, hey, I got this. I haven't stopped watching this for you for a moment. I don't feel an altar call, but I feel a prayer, so I'm going to go with that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, God, for every single person, Lord, that's here today. God, I thank You that the Word has fallen on good ground. God, that the devil hasn't been able to snatch not one word that's been spoken today. God, I thank You that every person in here, they have a moment with You, God, that they know You're real. They have a moment where they know You showed up in their life. God, they have a moment where they said it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, I thank You, God, that they're blessed. God, I thank You that they're healed. God, I thank You that they're sanctified. God, I thank You that they're saved, every last one of them. Now, if you'd stand up, we're going to speak a blessing. And if you'll lift up your hands, you're lifting them up to a God that is worthy of all of your praise. To the God that, you know what? He wants to inhabit the praises of His kids right here, right now. See, some of us, we ain't praised God all week. We ain't served God like we should. We ain't been like we should. But it's getting better, and it's getting better right now. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His very face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.